This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Later in the show, financial planning can be simpler than you think. We'll talk with New York Times columnist Carl Richards and get his advice on it. First up this afternoon,
does making it exist, and what does making it mean? I'm very capitalistic in the way I view things, so to me, making it is making money.
It's a tough path to make a living as an artist, because it's very personal what you do, and it has to be a business.
Sometimes I hate it, and sometimes I love it. I definitely do not always love art.
Everybody can go to art school and learn how to use media and make pictures, but no one really teaches you how to live as an artist and what you should do at certain milestones in your life.
And a lot of people kind of just assume that going to school, you're buying a career. You know, you're being educated, but you're going to get a career out of it, and that's just not how it is.
The film documentary Making It takes an in-depth look at what it means to have a successful career as an artist. The film explores the path to success through the eyes of students, working professionals, and artists who are at the top of their fields. Joining us to discuss the documentary are Making It creators Tony Moorman and Woody Hinton, and one of the artists featured in the film, Andrew Boiedemann. And you can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Tony, Woody, and Andrew, thank you for being here this afternoon. Much appreciated.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
No problem.
Tony and Woody, tell me about how you came up with the idea of tackling this particular topic.
Well, that's a long answer, but I'll summarize.
No problem.
It.
We have all kinds of time.
Well, Woody actually was pitching to me about doing a art documentary around 2011, 2012, after I had finished a short film I made in 2010, which I hired Woodrow to do the art for. So he did the movie poster for it. So after we had kind of collaborated professionally, I didn't know what I was going to do. And he was kind of like, hey, how about we make an art film? And I'm like, eh, maybe, I don't know. And then he just kept kind of pitching it over the next 2 years. And like 2012, I think we sort of, I saw the potential of making the film and being able to do it through the three artists that we were going to feature, Andrew Boiedemann, Brian Ewing, and Eric Fortune. And what kind of made that this film possible was they all lived in Columbus. So once I kind of knew they were all in that location, after discussing it with Woody Moore, we kind of decided, hey, I think we can actually kind of pull this off. And then how do you tackle an art documentary? I mean, that's a lot to take in. So, you know, how are we going to do that? And I think Woody did a great job of kind of titling the film. It's called Making It. And once we had that title in place, we kind of knew where we were going, what kind of direction we were going to go with it. How do we define success as an artist? And, you know, and I'm sure Woody has something to add to that.
So Woody, after twisting his arm for years, you finally got him to do it. Is that what happened?
Well, the funny thing was is I didn't want to do it. I wanted him to do it. I was like, this is a good idea for you. I'm an illustrator. You know, I love film. I like working for film. But I didn't want to be a filmmaker so much. I was like, this is a good project. I have this access. Because basically, I drug him down to when he was promoting the film, the first independent film, No More Blood, that he was talking about that I worked on. I said, you should come to San Diego Comic-Con with me. Because there's just this world that you're unaware of. And then on the plane back, he's like, what should my next project be? I go, well, dude, you just were surrounded by the most amazing artists on the planet. And you have easy access to them. And this is a world that we all love, we all buy, that people just don't know is there. You should make that film.
So this is this a message that artists need to hear?
The making?
Yeah.
Oh, I think so. Again, I've been an educator as long as I've been an artist. And one thing that I've been fortunate enough, I've had amazing teachers. And they've always given me more than I think what I expected. The film is one big paying that forward. I think the arts is a great opportunity to do that. We love what we do and we want to share what we do. And, you know, there's a lot of, I don't know. I feel very fortunate the people that I've been in places where the best people have told me amazing information that's really changed me. And I think sharing that is kind of my job as being an artist as much as a teacher.
So, Tony, how much work went into producing the documentary? How long did it take?
It was a roughly 2 to 3 year process. We began, 2012. And so 2 years of making multiple trips to Columbus and back. And sometimes I would go by myself, and I could get Woody to come along to some of them. And then that whole process was kind of awesome because we did San Diego. We filmed a portion of the documentary in San Diego Comic-Con and also Spectrum Art Live in Kansas City. And that's where Woody's talking about, too. Like, the access that we had was through these conventions and through these people who, you know, we were able to facilitate these relationships and having them be available for short interviews that we did with them. But also never losing focus, too, of the three main guys that we featured. And those three guys that we featured, it was important to keep that the focus of the film because the film is sort of about Woody, but it's not either. It's through his journey as an artist with his three friends because all four of them are in the middle of their careers. And I think that was kind of the focus and the what we wanted to really, you know, make sure that we did a good job at was you're at this point where you're either going to make it, you're going to succeed, and you're going to get better, and or you're going to kind of fade off into nothingness, which was a line from Andrew in the film. And it's a scary point in your career when you're in your late 30s or early 40s where you're not sure, you know, if you're going to get to that next stage or not. And I'm sure Andrew would have something to add to that as far as...
Andrew, what do you think of the movie? I mean, is this a message that artists should be hearing? Should they show this to art students when they go into art school?
Maybe.
You don't want to scare too many people off, I take it, or?
I didn't want to scare anyone off, or I just wanted, when we started this, no one really knew what it was going to be when it was finished, and the only thing I think a lot of us agreed in the beginning was we should just be honest, for whatever that means, all the way through, and let it be what it's going to be. So I don't think that was either great or bad, or you know, I didn't. I hope I'm making some sense here. I think we just want to make an honest film and put it all on the table and let the audience decide how they feel about it, instead of us telling them how they should feel about it.
You know, when you're in art school, do they prepare you for what it's really going to be like as an artist?
Yeah. I think some people try. Colleges are a business, you know? It's to get in the door, pay the fee, get through 4 years. What's on the outside is not necessarily their problem. And that's not just art school. I think that's all colleges. So, you know, and then also, is it the fact that maybe it's not that colleges don't want to tell you that, but maybe the students don't want to hear it while they're there? I mean, there's all these different issues going on at the same time.
What are some of the challenges you faced being an artist?
Money?
Is that the biggest one?
No, really. Actually, it really is. I'm almost going to be 40. I feel like a lot of things that, let's say my 18-year-old wish list of, oh, if I could only do this, or if I could only get into that, or if I could only... I've really scratched a lot of these off. I feel really fortunate. In fact, that was really the cool thing about the movie was I really thought that I hadn't made it, and I was still struggling. But then as we were making the movie, we had to take stock of all the things we had kind of accomplished, and I realized that I did get a lot of my wishes. I was in a lot of the books that I wanted to get into. I did get into a lot of the magazines. I became peers and friends with a lot of my heroes. I had these experiences. I did get to cross these things off. I'm just waiting for the money to come with it.
Well, tell me about the type of art that you do.
I do a bunch of different things these days. I do.
But you're primarily an illustrator, right?
I don't know anymore.
Okay.
I've been changing and evolving as an artist. Like I used to do branding design, pinup art, do some work for some video game companies, and right now I'm kind of a gear maker, really.
Okay, so you've been full spectrum with your art career, it sounds like.
It vacillates. Okay. It does.
Now, in the documentary, you talk about going to the National Air Force Museum at Wright-Patt. How has that been a source of inspiration for you in your art career?
I think it was kind of one of the first things. I mean, it's part of my childhood. It's part of who I am and what shaped my interests, and those didn't change. So I think if you get lost, you need to go back to the beginning.
you know, and we all get lost sometimes. And I think we need to go back to our beginning and ask ourselves, like, why did I get into this in the first place? What dragged me into this? Why am I even doing this? And we all have those problems in life, you know, whether regardless of what we're doing in our careers. And I think when you get lost, you have to go back to the beginning. And for me, it's the Air Force Base. It's, you know, I kind of go back to the beginning and be like, you know, to try to find an answer to that question. Why are we here? Why am I here? What am I doing? Where am I going? You know, I get lost and I go back to the beginning. And it's always that. That's one of those places that's the beginning for me.
Well, and our career has to be difficult because people probably look at it and say it's not a matter of what you have done, but what you've done lately.
Sure.
So how do you keep yourself motivated? What kinds of things do you do to keep the creative energy going?
If you saw the movie, I think that's all the other interests with the different, you know, working with different industries, making different products, like a lot of the guns and training and the knife company with my brother. It keeps me interested because after a while, making art the way I make it gets old. It's no matter what you do, it turns into your day job. It's not fun anymore. If somebody would ask themselves, hey, if you were to get your wish to do one thing for the rest of your life, no matter how awesome it is, it's going to get boring after a while. It's going to get old. And when it gets old, you don't do it as well as you used to. So you need to keep that fresh. And that's different for everybody. For me, it's engaging in all these other activities that dovetail with art, if that makes any sense.
Sure. You do knife design, right?
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that you do. And you also, you're an avid shooter from what I understand
as
well.
Yeah, and all those things. And I take all those things back into my art. It keeps my art fresh. If I didn't do those things, I feel like I can make more informed art, better art. It allows me to kind of grow and be more knowledgeable in the things that I make versus just being in my basement making things in a bubble without interacting with all these other areas.
Does being an illustrator mean if you're hired to work on projects for others as well as creating art on his own to sell? What types of projects are you working on as an illustrator, and what's your background in that?
This is so funny. I'm like totally in a daze here. I feel like with the headset on, I'm like underwater, and I kind of want to watch you guys talk. Like, you pulled me back in. I'm sorry. I was like just daydreaming here. I've been a commercial illustrator for, I'd say, the last 15 years, and that's changed dramatically. Normally, when I first got into the field, I was working for City Beat. I did the Oktoberfest poster, Jason Snyder, that kind of stuff, a lot of local stuff. Then I shifted over to editorial stuff, lots of newspapers, magazines. I did that for several years. And then it's kind of funny, I kind of got bored. So then I started to go into gaming, like D&D and some wizard stuff. And then I shifted over into comics. And I noticed, you know, it's kind of like funny him talking about going back to what he loves. I love a lot. So mm-hmm. I would like go back, but then kind of work in that field for about 5 to 8 years and get bored. And they go, well, I want to do this now. I want to do a little science fiction now. So Tony came around kind of at the right time because I do love movies. And he gave me this opportunity to kind of do that, which is kind of great. So interestingly enough, in the beginning of the film, I think I mentioned this, I kind of quit illustration. Because what I really wanted to do was do exactly what Andrew said, go back to the beginning and kind of ask myself, what are all these interests mean? Who am I? What is this all about? Which is kind of the bigger picture of what making it is, that I think is universal, not just with artists. And again, at some point for me, that was telling stories, but it was also making a living. It was also, how do I integrate that with my family? And what I'm doing currently is I teach a little bit, and I'm doing a lot of gallery shows for... I have two shows I can't really talk about, which is kind of weird. I can say that they're in LA. I can say that they're for licensed properties for some films that are coming out. And again, I'm just making the artwork to sell in the gallery to promote the films. And then I'm also working, there's a title called Kolchak, The Night Stalker. I don't know if you grew up with that.
Oh, yeah, I grew love up with that. It. I love that show.
So I'm working for the comic. I do the covers for that stuff, so that's coming up. And that's basically what I'm doing. I'm rambling at this point.
Well, do either of you still do, are you doing your work by digitally, or do you still use ink and paper? Or any way it comes?
I think everybody starts off drawing the same way. Like, I mean, it all starts off with a drawing and thumbnail. I'm still drawing everything. Woody draws everything. I'm using more digital. actually, tell you the truth, I mean, I'm making axes now. So, you know, if you pick up the new issue of Recoil, my axe is in that. I'll be honest, I'm getting more love and respect out of the tactical world than I get out of the art world, and I'm kind of done. I mean, and the money's better, and, you know, I mean, a lot of these things Woody mentioned are great, but they don't pay anything, and it's really tough to make a living, and after a while, you just, you stop caring.
That's a good point. I mean, that's, Andrew's being really honest about this stuff, and yeah. I think that's Woody and I as filmmakers, like, we wanted to tell that honest story with the documentary, because we could have easily made a fluff piece. We could have made the three guys look like rock stars, but, you know, no one asked, no one gave us a budget to make this film. We didn't ask for permission. Woody and I just sort of was like, hey, we're going to do this. And when we decided to do it, it was, there, we had no restrictions on the story we wanted to tell and the honesty that we really wanted to go with it. And I think, you know, you're listening to Andrew talk, and Brian and Eric are like that too, and so is Woody. Like, these guys are very passionate about, you know, their art, and they're very passionate about wanting to help other artists and, you know, kind of, you know, nurture them along as well, because they all do have teaching backgrounds as well. So, and the film is, to me, in my opinion, almost an extenuation of that. Like, the film is an educational tool. And you can really, any kind of art profession you have in the world, you can replace Illustrator with something else. I think you still get a lot of value out of that. And because of the honesties there, I think that people are responding to that, and you know, we're pretty happy with that.
We'll continue our conversation about making it. You can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney. We're talking with the creators of Making It, Tony Moorman and Woody Hinton, and one of the artists featured in the documentary, Andrew Bewiedemann. And you can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Woody, in your illustrating career, what, how's it work for you? Are you digital, or do you also do ink and paper? Or?
Okay, so it depends. And again, traditionally, illustrators just work for publishing. That's changed dramatically from when I started. So now, whether I choose to work digital or whether I choose to do a traditional is really based on how am I bringing this to the market. For example, right now I'm in a show and I have a choice. I can do a giclée, which is a laser print. And if I was doing that, I'd do it digital. I could do a screen print, which again, on some level would be digital, and I'd break that down. And then I can do an original. The question is how fast do I need it? Is there perceived value in the original piece? And that's going to help me dictate. So it's going to be deadline based, but it's also going to be like, how am I bringing this to the market? And that'll dictate what's the right option for that. So I use both seamlessly.
And Tony, what were some of the common themes that you were hearing when you interviewed three main artists, Andrew being one of them, then there's some other artists that you interviewed for the documentary. What was the main themes and common themes that you were getting from them?
Well, I think one of them was we had the conversation about it, is art school worth it? And that was something that everyone had a lot to say about. And that was great. But what we also did is we talked to students, recent grads, and working professionals. So kind of three different generations of people talking about those similar themes. And it was great to hear that kind of feedback. And one of the main themes was sort of you know, what they wanted to do as an artist is they wanted to make something that they loved to make and make a living at it. Like, it was basically what it comes down to, from a student to Mike Mignola. We're kind of saying the same thing.
Well, that comes as a shock to you, doesn't it?
Yeah,
Andrew?
No. Actually, I want to bust in and say, yeah. I think the main underlying concept was happiness.
Yeah.
I think and that's why everyone besides an artist can actually view the film and find it interesting, because I think what it really gets to is everybody's searching for happiness, and we're just talking about illustration on this, you know, but everyone's like, how do I spend my life following and doing something that makes me happy, you know, and balancing that with making a living? And I think that was kind of the main focus of it, and I think that point is where everybody, even if you're not an artist, can enjoy this film and maybe do a little soul searching while you're watching it and afterwards, and, you know, try to find some answers to those questions.
Woody, I think you say in the documentary that you don't believe in the idea of making it. Did I hear you correctly?
Yeah, and that was one of the premises. It was like, let's break down all these illusions of what you think you might want, whether it's money, family, fame, and then project yourself for the future. Tony had this great idea of, yeah, we started with my friends because there was a narrative that made sense, But we also keyed in and wait, we're in the middle of our career, so it was really important. Let's look at our younger selves. So we can't find our younger selves, so we found students. Let's look at our older selves of what we want to be. Let's get the vets. And then you get a really great conversation there about how has that perception changed. And again, there's this line, I don't know if I say it in the film or not. There were so many millions of cuts of that film. I really can't recall, but you know, it's this idea of what do I really want, like in my heart of hearts, and then what's expected of me. What does my family want? What does society want? What are the rules? And like how does that play out? Because that's what it's really about.
You know, Tony, I think somebody made one of the artists made a great point in the movie. They said, you notice it's making it, not made it. So really the truth is that an art career, like many careers, it's a journey, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it was Dan DeSantos said that. And it's a great line because it's making it is I define that as a continuation. Like you never have made it, you know. I think, you know, Greg Manchez has the, you know, even when you reach the top, there's another top, you know. And that's the struggle. And I think John Foster says it perfectly where he's like, you know, you need to learn to love the journey. You need to stop doubting yourself and stop beating yourself up over all the struggles that are ahead and just try to enjoy and learn that whole process because that's where...
Because that's back, all there is?
That's all there is. That's getting back to Andrew is, you know, finding happiness. And if you can enjoy the journey, if you can love the journey, and you can find your happiness, I mean, that's kind of awesome. That's hopefully we're all trying to do that.
513-419-7100 to join the conversation. Let's talk with Margie in Eastgate. Good afternoon, Margie. You're on Cincinnati Edition.
Hi.
Margie, how are you doing today? What's your question?
I'm doing great. My question is, did you in this movie represent women in any way and their perspective on the experience and the journey, as you were saying, of making it and continuing to stay involved and balancing and all of that sort of thing?
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. There, Tara McPherson, Becky Cloonan, you know, Sarah Diesel, Olivia. There's a lot of female artists that are represented in the film. The main three guys that are featured are through, they are actually Woodrow's close friends. They're his, you know. So we decided to tell the film through Woody's perspective, and by close proximity, it really became about Eric, Andrew, and Brian, but. That's just kind of what made sense for us and how to make that film. But everything, all the artists that we had access to that we wanted to talk to about the journey and about how to make a living as an artist, definitely we're open to all that stuff. And I think that, you know, it's something that, you know, that we're very aware of and that we wanted to make the perspective as wide open as possible, because having the three different generational perspectives is also great too, because you have the perspective of the students, recent grads, and veterans in the field. So, yeah.
Tony or anybody who has a thought on this, what's the toughest time? Is coming out of art school, trying to break into an art career, is that the tough time, or is it when you reach that midpoint in your career?
I'll jump in there while you.
Well, let's be honest. The river's always going to be the same, different for everybody when they step in. I mean, we graduated college during the tech stock burst. That wasn't good. And to be honest, our entire working careers have been financially unstable. They've been terrible for us. So I don't think some of our older peers could say they experienced that. And then I don't think things are going to be much better for the millennials. So. I don't know. I think everyone's going to experience.
So you're saying it's all tough?
It's all tough. Yeah, I think it's all tough now. It's all tough. I don't think it. Certain things get easier, but you're just trading one set of problems for another set of problems. Honestly, I'm pushing 40. Someone who's 23 are going to experience entirely different problems than I'm experiencing here and now. When they're pushing 40, the world's going to have changed again. I'll be in a different place. They'll be in a different place. I guarantee you they'll be dealing with a different set of problems than I'm dealing with now.
There's two people in the film that I think talk about that in an interesting way. The first one is Tony Moore, who says it's harder to stay in the business than it is to get in the business.
Terry Moore.
Yeah, Terry Moore. And then I also thought Bobby Chu. But Bobby Chu was talking like when you break through that ceiling, when you have that fame, when you have that notoriety, you don't need as much energy. You're not pushing up as much. But again, you bring up interesting points. You're dealing with new facets. Every 5 year later generation is dealing with these new set of general problems that they're going to have to push for. Personally, it was very easy for me to get into the field. And in the first 10 years of my career was smooth sailing. It was the later part that I found much more difficult.
So what keeps you going through the tough times?
I think we talk about that in the movie. It's that's why you gotta love it, because that's what you need to keep you going through it in the tough times. It's you don't need to love it to go through the easy times when money's good and things are going your way. That's easy. I mean, that's rock star. That's just yes. I think what I think about when I'm going through the tough times is like, okay, I'm really having a rough time with this. I'm experiencing all these problems. What happens if I quit? Does that mean I have to go back to being a designer working 70 hours a week for worse money? I mean, I really try to think about what my other options are. Should I apply for the night manager job at Speedway? What am I going to do? You know, am I going to go? What are my options? And I really try to be honest about what those are. And that kind of keeps me just focused and like, let's just get through this and it'll be all right.
Yeah.
And for me, it's three things now. It changes, but right now, these are the three things. Andy nailed the first one. You've got to love it. It's got to be who you are. You've got to want to make, and you've got to, it sounds cheesy, you've got to need to make. You've got to have that something in you that you have to create something. That's the first thing. But the other two things for me, and again, it's interesting. I got one from the speech in my undergrad and one from the master's. My undergrad, there was a famous illustrator named Bob McCall. He did a lot of NASA stuff. And he basically said, "It's a lonely business. You've got to find that person that's your strength, you know." And for him, it was my wife, and for me, it's the same thing. I've got to surround myself with family and friends because times do get hard, and if you've got a good core group, they get you through it. And the last thing, someone told me that I thought was great advice: find your business partner. And I mean, I got to be honest: this film would have never happened if Tony didn't will me to make it happen. There's no way I could have done this stuff by myself. So it's finding people that are like-minded, that want to create with you, playing on their skill sets as much as your own to really bring that out there, because it's really hard doing it all on your own.
Let's talk with Abigail and Colerain. Good afternoon, Abigail. You're on Cincinnati Edition.
Hello. So I just had more of a question. My dad, he's into art. He's an artist, but he never had the opportunity to actually make money off of it. It was more of a passion, even though he wanted to. But I felt like one of his biggest problems is he was never willing to compromise in order to, bend to what, like, society or what people were actually looking for in art. So my question was, through your experiences, have you guys ever had to compromise in order to actually make money? Or do you feel like you just stayed strong with what you wanted to do as an artist, and somehow that came about? Because I really feel like I've been telling my dad that, he needs to bend a little bit more as far as what people may want and what they may be looking for, and he just won't do it.
So, okay, Abigail.
That's kind of my question.
Okay, Abigail, thank you. Any advice?
I feel pretty spoiled. Most of the changes people have wanted me to make is like, hey, can we change the hair color? I pretty much have gotten away with doing kind of whatever, and some of the things people have asked me to change have been so minute I can't even say that they were changes, and I don't even feel comfortable complaining about them. But I do what I do, and people contact me because they want some of what I do. If they wanted it, and there was a price I paid, because I'm sure there were a lot of people that didn't want what I did. So, someone else want to hop in?
I always get in trouble with this one. Simple as that. And the answer is I make a lot less money than I should because I choose to live my life a certain way. There are consequences for that. But with specific to art, I do think that if you're making a good product, if you're making something that people – that you love – that it's more about finding the audience and finding people that really want to relate to that, because the world's a big place.
So, Tony, how is the film being distributed?
The film is being distributed through Film Buff, which is a New York distribution company, and it is available on iTunes, Amazon, and VHX. And they have some stuff in the works as far as other digital platforms that, you know, that are kind of subscription based. So we'll have some more details for that, like, down the road. But
yeah. Okay. And the Making It link is on the WVXU website, and you get more information on it there as well. So, Tony, Woody, and Andrew, thanks for talking with us this afternoon.
Yeah. Awesome.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Making It creators Tony Moorman and Woody Hinton, and one of the artists who was featured in the film, Andrew Bewiedemann.